Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, friends, we're going to entitle today's message, Transfer to Transform. Transfer to Transform. Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Now let me look at some of the verses around this and read these to you as well. Let's really think about what he's talking about here. And a matter of fact, in Colossians 1, Paul is talking about the fact that they have, you know, their faith in Jesus Christ is evident, the love they have for all saints, and they have a hope in heaven, and they're bearing fruit, and you know, they learned from Epaphras, who had came and started that church, and Paul keeps praying for them that they be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's in verse 9. And verse 10 says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So he's talking about the fact that they are transferred to the kingdom, but they are being transformed, and it's a process. There's more to it. They are supposed to be being filled with the knowledge of his will. Not that they were fully there yet, but they would begin to do that. And they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing, bearing fruit, and increasing. There's the key word, increasing. Verse 11 says, may you be strengthened with all power. First of all, they didn't have it all yet, but that they could. And he's praying that it would happen. See, it's a process. Just like Mark 4 says, the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. That's how the kingdom of God works. We get out of the pit, we get on the solid rock, and then we learn to stand and live in that grace. Again, verse 11 says, Colossians 1, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Now again, looking at verse 13 here and the verses surrounding it, Paul's saying how God has qualified us for the inheritance of the saints in light. You can see a parallel there in Ephesians 1:18. And he's laying out reasons to be thankful to the Father. We saw that in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father because he's done these things. Now if you've been strengthened with all might, that's verse 11, then you will give thanks. That's verse 12. And you will give thanks by acting in accordance with what God has done with endurance, patience, and joy. Again, that's verse 11. Giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ is more than putting, you know, quote unquote, in Jesus' name on the end of our prayers. It's both word and deed. 1 John 3:18 says, brothers, let us not love just in word, but in deed and in truth. Colossians 3, we're in that book, so let's turn there right now. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we think, well, I do that. But he qualifies it further. In verse 23, he says, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive your inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And, you know, Hebrews 13, 15, and 16 echoes that sentiment. Now, let me give you some examples here today of what I'm talking about in deed and in truth, and the fact that we have to learn a new way and be renewed in the spirit of our minds and not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Imagine you gave two children each a bicycle. Now, which child would truly be giving thanks for that item you gave to them? The one who did it with just words and, you know, said, Daddy or Mommy, thank you for giving me that bicycle. I'm so happy you gave me that bicycle. Thank you so much. But they never rode the bicycle. Or they never took care of the bike. Of course, then you have the other ones that, you know, may not say it as much. They may not say, well, you know, that every day I thank you so much for the bike and all that, but you know that they do. They say it every once in a while, but they put the bike to use. Not just with words, but they take care of it and they rode it. Which one's truly giving thanks for the bike? Which one truly is thankful that they had it? The one that uses it, they prove they need it, they prove they want it, they prove they're thankful to have it. Isn't it a joy when the children actually keep the toys for longer than a day? We buy them so many toys at Christmas hoping that one or two will hit and not just miss. You know, usually by the time they open them all up, the first two or three are broken and you ran out of batteries. I'm not saying don't buy Christmas gifts, friends. I'm saying that it's the same with the wisdom you impart to people or the wisdom God imparts to you. We need to make use of it and not just put it as another toy that we got and we were excited about. Mark 4 talks to that too. Many people receive the word with joy, but because there's no life in them, there's no root in them, it goes to waste. It just doesn't bear any fruit. It's a sad thing. Because of Christ, you're a member of the kingdom of God. In heaven, where God's kingdom is made most manifest, there's no sin, no rebellion, and no darkness. 1 John 1:5. And so to give thanks, to understand, because, you know, he says in 1 John 3 that he that has this hope within himself purifies himself even as he is pure. In other words, you know that you're a Christian. You know Jesus Christ is perfect. We will begin to want ourselves to be that way because that's who we worship. That's what faith is. We see him over there. We see him as the example and the one that has paid for us. And we say, that's the right thing. I'm going that way. I'm going to begin to be transformed. And as we look at him, we are changed from glory to glory by beholding him as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty, 2 Corinthians 3:17. But we're supposed to use that liberty to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're supposed to ride the bike, friends. Let me give you another example here. Think about it like this. In the world, if you've been transferred to a different job or a different department, you begin to work for a new boss. And there's different rules in the new department. And according to the particular company standards, you got to learn the new system. And you have to grow in your knowledge of the job in order to be effective. Let's say you work for a cafeteria company and you were a manager. And a different cafeteria company took over the one cafeteria company that you work for. You might have to learn new recipes. It's still involving food. Some of the recipes might be very similar, but the temperature that they keep things, or how long they cook things, or certain of the ingredients, or certain ways they present it might be different. And you can't just say, well, I've learned it this way. No, you have to learn the new system, and you have to grow in your knowledge of the job in order to be effective, no matter how effective you thought you were before, no matter how good you were at business, no matter how good you were with talking to people, no matter how good you were before in whatever you did. When you are in the kingdom of God, you have a new set of things you need to be concerned with. What Paul is saying is if you've been strengthened with might, you will have endurance, patience, and joy, and by doing this, you're going to be giving thanks, proving that you've been qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints, and proving that you have been delivered from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of the beloved. If you were working for that new company and they saw you reading the book of new recipes or figuring out how to work their stuff and they saw you try to start implementing that, they would know that you care about your job. It would prove to you that you want to keep this job. You want to do an excellent job. You'd like to make that transformation complete. We've got to understand that God has delivered us as to an eternal status, but also as to our temporal character, from the dark power having its claim on us, and also from the darkness having its power over us now. Romans 6, 14 through 23, Ephesians 2, 1 through 6 and 10, and Ephesians 6 through 12. There's so many verses that talk about the fact that although there might be an indwelling principle that still resides in us, or we might have bad habits, however you want to look at that, the spirit lusts against the flesh and all of that, it does not have to have dominion over us. We have been delivered eternally from that dark power having its claim on us. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. However, we tend to put the shackles back on, and we don't have to. We got to put the new uniform on, the new man, right? Like it says in Ephesians 4, you put off the old man, right? You put on the new man. Many times Paul speaks in this type of thing. We forget the kingdom that's behind, and we press on towards the kingdom that's now, and we develop holy habits, again, as J.I. Packer would tell us. The Bible teaches that we are delivered from sin's penalty, but we are also being delivered from its power, 1 John 1:6. We're transferred, but we must act in accordance with that truth to realize, and that word realize means cash in, to make it experiential. Again, we're transferred into the new kingdom out of darkness and into light, but we've got to start bearing that light and not letting it put the dimmer switch on. Matthew 5:16, you know, no man puts it under a bushel, but he puts that light up there and people see it. Philippians 2:15 says we're supposed to shine as lights in the world and be blameless to the coming of our Lord. We're transferred. We've got to realize that we're also being transformed. And again, Romans 12:1 and 2, Ephesians 22-24, Colossians 3, so many verses. You focus on the indicative of who you are in Christ, and the imperative acting like it follows. You focus on Jesus and who He is and what He's done for you, and you learn to love Him, that He's loved you in spite of who you are. And you see the indicative. Like the book of Ephesians is such a beautiful picture of this. Chapters 1 through 3 are the indicative, who we are in Christ. And then 4 through 6 is the imperative of acting like that. Romans chapter 1 through chapter 11 talks about what God has done for us in Christ and the gospel. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 1, based on all that, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself a living sacrifice. And then he goes into service in chapters 12 through 16 and how we're supposed to live that out. Again, you focus on the indicative of who you are in Christ and the imperative of acting like it follows. You realize that you are one of the King's kids and you begin to take on the King's character. Friends, there is no middle ground. There are only two kingdoms. You've probably heard the parable of the fence, where God and Jesus and the devil are on one side, and Jesus says, which way do you go? And you say, I think I'll sit on the fence. And he goes, okay, go with the devil, because you can't ride the fence. The devil owns the fence. You can't be delivered from one without being transferred to the other. When you're being rescued from something, you're being rescued to something. You can't be transformed without beginning to be transformed. Now, I'm not talking about a degree. We're talking about whose domain we're in and whose dominion we're under. Who is your king? If it's still yourself, friend, you're still in the kingdom of darkness. Now, many times we say Jesus is our Lord, but we're still the foreman of the company, deciding the daily duties. Take a look at Philippians 3:18 through 21 and see who Paul's talking about there. See, to act in accordance with this doesn't mean that we're sinless. It means we sin less. We're striving towards the light, not retreating again to the darkness. We realize, again, we make it real, the fact that we are free. This means we act like it. We act like we're free from our sins. We let a little darkness in, or however it gets in, we see it for what it is, and we rush to get back to God. If your destination is heaven, then your destiny is holiness. Are you transferred today? Then you should start becoming transformed today. Renew your mind around these truths. That's all the time we have for the Voice of Vision broadcast. See you next time. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad.
See you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.